It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
I'll get on with it.
Okay.
Number five.
Jay-Z was the first guest on the new Van Jones show on CNN. America was waiting for Van Jones to have his own show.
That's what the promos say. I think you read that from the CNN release.
I don't think they actually were, but whatever. Van Jones gets his own show. Van Jones, I think, is a very good commentator. I mean, he's, you know, he holds his position very, very well as you know, one of the political commentators.
Yes, he does.
I think, you know, when you watch those panels on the news, the people who are absolutely, you know, on a straight line for their position, that is, I can't imagine how hard that is now for many of the folks who are day in and day out taking the straight line for the president, who have to explain things that are 180 degrees away from what they were saying the day before.
Sure. But as you know, and I know, the way they book those shows, they almost require you to do that.
Oh, I do know that
and
well.
And you know that well.
I did that for a while, I know what it's like.
Yes. They make it very clear.
Yes. So this is your right. As a matter of fact, it's the reason I am no longer with the Fox News Channel. Because they asked me what I was going to say that day. Everything was written out. And then in the middle of it, I'm like, I don't really think this. Here's what I think. And that was the last day I worked
there.
Well,
okay.
Yeah.
Good knowing you.
Yes, exactly. That's not what you said you were going to say. Anyway, the point is this. That there is a... So he goes on. He's got Jay-Z. Now, Jay-Z, there was a whole conversation about asshole countries and then about the black unemployment rate because the president, you know, who subsequently tweeted to Jay-Z after this interview, like, hey, please remind Mr. C that, in fact, it's the lowest black unemployment rate in the history of blacks or something like that.
Yeah.
Something to that degree. And here's what Jay-Z said.
It's disappointing and it's hurtful. It really is hurtful, more so. Like, everyone feels anger. But after the anger, it's really hurtful because, like, you're like looking down on a whole population of people. And you're so misinformed because these places have beautiful people and have beautiful everything. And it's just, like, this is the leader of the free world speaking like this.
I gotta say, it is pretty astounding when you stop and you think about that. And I mean, every week there's something that would be the story of a presidency. And there's 52 weeks in a year, and there's 4 years of a presidency. That means that there are 210 stories for every one. Every one president would have one story like this.
Sure, he's had a
maybe
ton.
Two or three. He will have 210 by the time he is done.
Yeah,
of his first term. And I still honestly believe that he would be reelected today.
His approval ratings don't necessarily reflect that, but. You have to see what the race shapes up to be.
Well, it depends on who's going to run against him. Although it does turn out that Hillary was just as bad a candidate as we thought she was. Right? She's really not helping herself at all with this whole the whole deal where they had a guy in her campaign who was harassing the workers, and she knew about it. She's like, don't worry about it.
Well, yeah, you saw Patty Solis Doyle, Chicagoan herself, who briefly ran her campaign in 2008, who said, we pointed it out. We said this guy had problems, and instead they moved the girl who accused him, and he stayed on and continued on.
And let me say something else. I know this is not in here, I don't think. Hold on, I just want to make sure I'm not getting ahead of my own.
No, I don't think so.
No, it's not. Last night, it was a terrible mistake. Terrible mistake. For Hillary Clinton to agree to do that bit at the Grammys, and for the Grammys to ask her to do that bit, it proves a point to America that the criticism of the president can be nakedly political along the lines of Democrats, Republicans, or Hillary versus Trump or whatever. Trump can do that all day long, and we can see what he's doing, and we know what it's all about. But it's beneath the dignity. I hate to say, I cannot believe I'm saying these words. It is beneath the dignity of the Grammys.
Oh, gosh.
Right? I mean, that's really saying something. For the Grammys to go out and get Hillary Clinton and put her into a bit reading from Michael Wolff's book. It's below the dignity of that. First of all, that was even too political of a bit to begin with, but then to put Hillary Clinton in the middle of it? Come on now.
You're saying because it was Fire and Fury, that book that's been a little... Some of the facts in the book have been maybe not sourced so well.
No, it's not even facts. It's stuff that's just, you know, purely made up in the book. And I am not a defender of the President of the United States. Of this President of the United States, I'm not a defender. As a matter of fact, I kind of think that this is not going to end well for America. But this does not help.
Mm-hmm.
The Fire and Fury book being poorly sourced and causing the kind of trouble that it has caused in the journalism world, not for the president or any of the people around him, Bannon or anybody else, because they all kind of deserve what they get in terms of the way that they behaved in this to begin with and by talking to this guy and saying whatever it was. But there's a lot of irresponsible stuff in this book, too. And then they have Hillary come out and, you know, read from the book. And it's just not.
But why are you holding her to a higher standard than the president himself?
Look at everything he's done. Have you heard this show, Judy?
Yeah, I know. But not right now. You're like saying, well, they shouldn't have gone
because
there.
I'm right both times. It don't have to be put down one political line to be right. As a matter of fact, if you are down one line, you're wrong half the time. And in this particular case, I'm holding them all to a higher standard. And in this particular case, I think that they shouldn't have. I don't think that Hillary Clinton helps herself in this. If she, you know, when they go low, she should go high. Do you remember that? That worked out great for
Michelle
them.
Michelle Obama.
That there is no, that's, and let's face it. There is just enough. If I were her, I'd lay low like there's no tomorrow, especially now this stuff's coming out. It's not going to end well.
Well, the thing is, you criticize the president when he does something that's foolish, and you're criticizing.
Right. I guess I'm being simplistic. I just thought it was funny.
Okay. I got itchy about it. I actually thought the whole bit was a little weird because you get in.
Well, I didn't know where they were going with it at first. I was kind of surprised to see her at the end, but
yeah, it's a show.
Yeah, I laughed.
It's a show about
music.
Yeah, the music industry
and comedians apparently.
Yes, for the first time ever,
Dave Chappelle.
Yeah,
very prominent.
I got to move on. I've said my piece, but it was wrong. I criticize the president when he's wrong. I criticize Hillary when she's wrong. She was wrong last night. President's wrong. I can point to just about every day. But thank you. This is the thing I hate about. I'm sorry to stick on this moment, but this is the thing I hate about this. Why is it that the truth is dying here because there's no truth unless it comes through a political filter. Isn't there such a thing as pure objectivity in some of these issues? What is wrong, and it's not just because it's wrong because it's Republican or Democrat. And if you're a Democrat, everything the Republicans do is wrong. And if you're a Republican, everything the Democrats do is wrong. Isn't there somebody who can stand up and go, "Here's where you're both wrong, and if you're right, you're right."
Sure.
For God's sake,
there better be.
Well, right, because once we lose that, we're going to be just like all the other blank hole countries around the world who have screwed up, corrupt political systems that are in full dysfunction. And that's what, and nothing would make Russia happier or China happier, any of our strategic adversaries happier than to see America fall into the disrepair that they have been in. And I, for one, am not going to sit here and let that happen.
No, you're not.
I'm announcing my presidency in about an hour. Once I get over this toothache.
Number four.
Boy. Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Is considering ending his relationship with Boston radio station WEEI.
What time does he go on?
The Wee! Tom Brady. Hold on.
You need your reverb.
Tom Brady coming up at 4:20 and 7:20 in the morning.
Apparently he regularly calls into this show.
It must be some
kind of a deal,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he's got a deal.
Yeah.
Kind of deal.
Thank you. Because all the people who call into this show, they just have the goodness of their heart.
Most of them do.
Actually, most of them, 90% of them do.
We're very glad they do.
Now, Alex, is it Reamer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds right.
Is a host of the show on WEEI, The Wee. 95.5, The Wee.
He's suspended indefinitely, by the way.
Time to take a wee.
A long one.
Now, because Alex Reamer, that can't be his radio name, can it?
Yeah, that's what he uses.
Is it?
Yeah.
The Reamer?
The Reamer. Afternoons on The Wee.
Probably right.
He was probably Alex St. John in his last job, though. And then he had a programmer who goes, you know, you should use your real name. It's Reamer. Really? Okay, good. Oh, you're going to be in talk. You're going to be in sports talk, so Reamer's a good thing. Reamer with the Daily Ream coming your way at 7:20. All right, here you go. Anyway, the point is this.
Yeah, it's what he said. It's the point.
He insulted Tom Brady's 5-year-old daughter while discussing a documentary about the quarterback.
What'd you think? It was fine.
Jesus.
It was okay.
Just fine? Come on.
All right, I thought the first scene was so staged, where Brady's, like, in the kitchen, his kids being an annoying little pissant. Like,
oh.
Do you say that about a 5-year-old?
Over the line, Reamer?
Totally over the line, I think.
I'd like to apologize to Tom Brady and his entire family, including Giselle Bundchen. Wouldn't you like to get with her?
Oh, gee.
You should give him some tickets.
Yeah, give him a ticket to an event or something. Or at least give him a heads up when you're going to have another ticket.
Foghat's playing.
Foghat. What time are the tickets coming
up? We got tickets to Foghat coming up right after this.
Don't miss your chance to win on the Wii.
Rip me off on the Wii.
Anyway.
Well...
So he's been suspended now. Brady responded to the comments on a different... Now, he was on the same station. He was on the Wii, but he was... But this is on a different show. Here's what Tom Brady said.
I've tried to come on this show for many years with... and showed you guys a lot of respect. I've always tried to come on and, you know, do a good job for you guys. So, you know, it's very disappointing when you hear that, certainly with my daughter or any child. You know, they certainly don't deserve that. I'll obviously evaluate whether I want to come on this show again, so I really don't have much to say this morning.
That's fine. I understand. So that's totally fine.
I will, maybe I'll speak with you guys some other time.
Oh, he's backing up. That guy's backpedaling like there's no tomorrow, like on a tricycle.
He calls into his show, and then he insults his kid?
Yeah.
That
was dumb. Well, you know what? It's guys who have to have... They have to say... Sports radio, there's only so many things you get whipped up about. Right? I mean, quite honest.
Have you heard Stephen A. Smith?
Yes, but that's the point.
It's the point.
You got to get whipped up about stuff that people, you know, people aren't really that emotional about unless they got real money riding on it. I mean,
it's sports.
It's sports. At the end of the day, it's not going to affect your life. But people have to get all excited about it. So the guy said something. That's what he does.
I kind of want to see a documentary, though, and see if the girl was what
an happening.
An
annoying little fish ant coming up after 7:20.
All right. I hope this doesn't affect his Super Bowl performance. Violetta is going to give us the traffic, but first, Judy tells us what's at the bottom of the hour news on WGN Radio.
Looks like a U.S. Army vet from Chicago will be deported. We'll have that story coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Right
now. Violetta?
Yeah.
She caught traffic right now in the 25s.
Thanks, Radio Man.
That's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here, 720 WGN. The top 5-5 continues. We're up to...
Number 3.
Donald Trump sat down with Piers Morgan for his first international TV interview.
Ooh.
Is that actually true? I'm not sure that's true. Morgan asked the president about the different topics ranging from climate change, the state of the European Union, feminism. Feminism one was classic because he's like, I wouldn't call myself a feminist. That's going too far.
That was honest.
Yeah. But the most interesting revelation came up, I think, about his tweeting habit, which I think we all kind of figured.
The whole world waits for you to wake up.
Are they waiting?
On tenderhooks.
Yeah, it's a crazy situation.
And are you actually lying in bed with your phone, working out how to wind everybody up?
Well, perhaps sometimes in bed and perhaps sometimes at breakfast or lunch or whatever. But generally speaking, during the early morning or during the evening, I can do that. But if I'm, you know, very busy during the day, I'm very long hours and busy. And I'll sometimes just dictate out something really quickly and they'll give it to one of my people to put it on.
Yeah.
His people do it.
His people do it. Yeah, those are the misspellers or his people.
So the headline was, he tweets from bed. Mm-hmm. And your guess is it's really maybe not always from bed. It might be.
It's the can.
Number 2.
Michigan State men's basketball head coach Tom Izzo is reacting to the investigation into Larry Nassar.
Yeah.
Right? The doctor's going to get 170 years for for molesting the gymnast from Gymnastics USA. Mm-hmm. And other patients along the way. But here, now, this guy was also the medical director at Michigan State University, where Tom Izzo is, of course, your basketball head coach, legendary coach. Could this go all the way to the top?
It's been hard to focus in on basketball because when I do, I feel guilty. You know, I mean, there's so many things that you don't know, and I feel guilty putting any of talking about anything else than those women that I watched, and that's about. I'm sure it was draining at the end for me. I was also emotional because I'm an emotional guy, and I was proud of the job they did, and I hope that. I hope people rally around them, and I hope we'll rally around people that need us.
Yeah.
Sad. You know, you've got a situation now where even people who weren't part of the court case came out, they said 20 years ago, and alerted
1997
authorities about
multiple
this guy.
Multiple reports against Nasser.
Credible reports of abuse back then, and it persisted.
Oh, man. And finally,
number one.
This is actually a very interesting sketch on Saturday Night Live about the sexual harassment Me Too moment, mm-hmm. right? So everybody's talking about, you know, what a pig Harvey Weinstein is and how awful, you know, like along the line here. But then it's come to Aziz Ansari.
Right.
And everybody stops and goes, well, wait, that sounds like a date that went bad, right? That was a date where, you know, they ended up going out, having a few drinks, fooling around, and then woke up the next morning and thought, what did I just do?
What was that all about?
I mean, right? Who hasn't been on a date like that, right? I mean, that's, and guys, I know guys who were like, wake up and go, oh, wait, did I, no.
And then we all know women, too, who do the same kind of reaction. And she described it as consensual in her.
Right.
Babe.com, you know, relaying the facts from that night.
So when you're with a bunch of friends who are politically agitated and you're having a conversation, how does it actually, how can you discuss current events in these very, very polarized times? Here's Saturday Night Live's take.
You know, speaking of the times, did any of you guys read that op-ed piece about?
Honey, no.
What article are you talking about?
The one about Aziz Ansari? I'm sorry, we can talk about it's something else. I was just curious what everyone thought. But
No, of course. We can we can talk about it. Yeah, I mean, I think we should.
We absolutely should.
Well, it's come to this. I'll go first.
Are you sure you want to do this?
Yes, I will speak on the topic of Aziz, I'm sorry. I think...
Careful.
Yeah.
You could cut the awkwardness with a knife, right? Which is kind of how these conversations are happening everywhere.
About everything.
About everything.
Depends on what news channel you're watching. This is how you feel about however you feel, mm-hmm. I think, as it turns out. That's why you should listen to this show, because we truly are fair and balanced.
Try to be.
All right, we're going to give you Judy Pylax news coming your way in 2 minutes. Let's close this thing up.
The top five at five.
Yeah, it's a Rokan show with Anna DeBlanzis right here on